This is Unleashing Your Great Work, a podcast about doing the work that matters the most to you. I'm Dr. Amanda Kroll, a cognitive psychologist and the author of the book, Great Work. Every week on this podcast, we make bold plans and we take small steps, all so we can build a life that's powered by your great work. Welcome, everybody, to Unleashing Your Great Work. From being nearly homeless to managing over $1 billion in her career. Plot twist, this isn't a Netflix series. It's Chantel Love's actual life story. As an award-winning global VP of customer success and the first Black woman VP in her division's history, she's living proof that shattering the glass ceiling makes for excellent cardio. Author of the game-changing career and personal branding book, Promote Your Damn Self, Chantel transforms boardrooms and ballrooms with her electrifying keynotes. While others perfect their elevator pitch, she's busy teaching professionals how to own the entire building. Her secret sauce? Turning professional roadblocks into launching pads with a signature blend of sharp insights, authentic leadership, and refreshingly real talk. Welcome to the podcast, Chantel.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Me too. And it's not often that someone's bio makes me actually laugh. So well done.
I try. It's my personality. If I can't put myself in it, it doesn't need to be there.
See, already pulling out those audiogram posts. So tell me, Chantel, we're going to start where we always do. Tell me a little bit about your great work.
Absolutely. And I am a bit biased. I love the concept of great work. However, my great work is empowering professionals to action, empowering professionals to advocate for themselves authentically, while creating environments where every single person can thrive. As you stated in my bio, I am the first Black woman vice president in my division's history at Pearson and the founder of Chantel Love LLC. And I've made it my mission, my purpose to transform how people position themselves professionally. And I share this throughout my book, Promote Your Damn Self, and in my LinkedIn MBA course and in my consulting work. I get to, and I say that with emphasis, because I get to work with organizations, with conferences, with ERGs to help individuals develop powerful personal brands that propel their purpose, while simultaneously helping organizations increase engagement and reduce turnover and improve their bottom line. And my great work exists at this intersection where I am able to empower someone personally while meeting the organization by transforming it. And genuinely, I believe that when people learn to articulate their value effectively, both them and their company win. It's a win-win situation. And this dual impact is what makes the work so meaningful for me.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And you seem very passionate about it, which I love. But why? Why are you so passionate about this? How has this been the linchpin of your personal success or what you've seen really make game-changing impact in the world?
Yeah, oftentimes, and I'm sure you can attest to this, oftentimes speakers, consultants, and coaches, oftentimes their first client is their self.
Yeah.
And I'm no exception to the rule. So my path here was actually paved with frustration before breakthrough. If I were to take you on a journey back maybe 12 to 13 years ago, despite having an MBA that I earned, that Sally Mae was still knocking at my door, getting money from me to pay.
Yeah.
I was stuck. I was stuck earning $40,000 because I didn't know how to vocalize my value. I found myself at that time, I was cycling through managers. Within 6 years, I had 9 different managers. So I was in this cycle of constantly proving myself, constantly trying to get their buy-in. And along the way, I saw several people who worked half as hard as me, who had half of the accolades and accomplishments. I watched them take opportunities and pass me by. And if I'm being honest, what really fueled my mission was confronting the stark reality of the pay equity gap. Mm-hmm. And as I was researching the pay equity gap, what I found was women, they lose over $400,000 in their career due to pay inequity. Mm-hmm. And for women of color, they lose $1 million over the course of, yes, I know, that's how it hit me, mm-hmm. like this, over the course of their career. And I share this because it's not just a statistic, it's reality. And I was living that reality. And it's rarely discussed. It's rarely discussed how personal branding isn't just visibility. It's not a vanity tour. For me, I believe personal branding is economic justice and it's generational wealth building. And the turning point for me actually came when I was laid off from that job. I was laid off from a leadership position. Although I was a top performer, high and overachiever, mm-hmm. I felt like the ground basically, it disappeared from underneath my feet. And I was mad. I was angry. And I was mad because I had given this company everything, every single thing. I was exceeding targets. I was building dynamic teams. I supported mergers and acquisitions. I created innovation solutions. Yet there wasn't a clear way for me to grow from this situation. And I still ended up cleaning out my desk and putting all of my life that I have from this company in a box and still trying to figure out what came next. And what came next is surprising. So I went on a journey from a very amazing leadership role where I was making high six figures to an entry-level sales job. And wow. I'm laughing because most people will look at that as a setback. But for me, it was an opportunity for reinvention. And many would look at it as a demotion or a failure. And I chose to see it as education. Mm-hmm. What sales taught me, what that entry-level sales taught me was it was revolutionary. While most people in sales and most people in life, they chase the yes. For me, I realized that true success comes from chasing the no. And I'm going to tell you why. Every no I received brought me closer to a yes. And when you think about the law of averages, that became my North Star. Understanding statistics, every 9 no's you get, 1 no actually is waiting. And that's that golden ticket. So instead of me dreading rejection, I began to seek it out. I began to celebrate it because I knew if I kept pushing ahead, if I kept forging ahead, that yes would come. Mm-hmm. And with that new mindset, Amanda, I have found myself advancing in executive leadership roles, increasing my compensation over 70%.
Nice.
But the true fulfillment for me wasn't the compensation. It wasn't the increase in roles. It was discovering that I wasn't the only one on this journey tripping and trying to figure out how to vocalize my value, how to grow in my career, how to position myself as worthy. Mm-hmm. Fulfillment came helping others in similar situations achieve these transformations. And I am fortunate to say that I've empowered professionals alike, especially women and people of color, to increase their salaries an average of 35% within months of applying my methodologies. Mm. And they're not just advancing in their corporate careers. They're landing speaking engagements, they're securing consulting contracts, they're monetizing their expertise in ways that they frankly never knew was possible. And I actually got a message from a client yesterday. She messaged me celebrating that she landed a contract with a company in Brazil. And she used every single thing that I wrote in chapter 6 of my book about monetizing your expertise. And I celebrate with her because it's something that she wouldn't have pursued before embracing her true value. So,
I want to just back up a little bit because I don't want to get too far away from. I really liked when you started talking about the dual impact, the impact on the person and the company. And I think that that is something that people don't really fully realize what the loss is. And I don't really want to talk about the loss to the bottom line of the company as much as I want to talk about what's missing in this, you know, like when the baseline is that we don't have women and people of color in their cultures and their ways of being, a lot of people are like, oh, women should be more like men. Mm-mm. And then they'll be successful. And I just think like, if the whole world was like that, well, we're looking at it and things aren't going so great, right? Like we're, and so I want to hear more from you about like when you help people do their personal branding, but also know themselves well enough, like respect their expertise, show up in a different way. Like, I feel like that changes the whole world. So can you talk just a little bit about that kind of an impact that like it has on the person? We'll come back to that, but also just on the world that we're living in.
Yes. How much time do we have? But I honestly think from the perspective, everything that I do, and I used to do one-on-one coaching, and the number one thing that stood in my client's way, the number one thing that stood in mentees' ways is mm-hmm. their mindset. Mm-hmm. The hardest person to convince is yourself. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to promoting yourself for a job, when it comes to starting a new business, when it comes to speaking on a stage, when it comes to asking to be on a high stakes projects, oftentimes there is a whole conversation that's going on in someone's head with mm-hmm. a whole judge and jury that no one else knows about mm-hmm. but them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we spend a great deal of time working through mindset, questioning the merit and those concerns and questions and situations that they're playing out in their head yeah. and reverse engineering it. So getting to the point of this golden space, their space that they want to be, the thing that they aspire to become, and backwards designing it. I think that once they get to that place of understanding that they are in full control of mm-hmm. how they show up, and how they vocalize their value, that doesn't mean that everyone around them is going to agree and say yes, right? Mm-hmm. But once they get to the point of believing that they are everything that they can be, and oftentimes that they are everything that I see them as, because we mm-hmm. often as coaches can see more potential in the person than they see in themselves. Mm-hmm. Once they get to that point, the sky is the limit. And I've seen, you know, a lot of women, people of color, even some of my clients are white males that are now CEOs of their own business. Once they get to that point of realizing that everything that they've done in their career can solve a problem for someone else, then they realize the power that they've been suppressing. And it does change the world. I think it changes the world in a way where We've been taught to keep our heads down. We've been taught to wait our turn. We've mm-hmm. been taught, especially in corporate settings, not to talk about money, not to talk about religion, not to talk about your upbringing. You've also been talked about or conditioned not to talk about your struggles or your challenges, right?
Yeah.
When you embrace the things that could be perceived in your own head as shame, when you embrace them and realize that you're not the only one who's been through those struggles or the only one who's overcome that type of challenge, it makes you look at the world completely different. Mm-hmm. And it does change the world. It changes the world when you're confident and comfortable enough to tell your story. Mm-hmm. Because when you tell your story, you don't know who's listening. You don't know who needs to hear that story in that moment. And you also don't know who's having that same judge and jury in their head.
Yeah.
Your story comes in and it's like, okay, This I'm not alone in this. Yeah. And that's what makes the difference.
I love that.
It empowers people in a way that they may not even be able to imagine or comprehend on their own once they can conquer their mind.
Yeah, 100%. And when you were talking about, you know, like so much of what you've said so far, especially in the mindset piece and also your story of sales, right? Like the foundation there is the same. It's like if every time you get a no, you feel shame, well, then you're stuck handling the shame before you can get back on the phone. And, you know, so it's a lot of it is like, if we just said, I'm just not going to feel ashamed. I'm good enough. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm going to do my best to be the best version of myself and repair relationships if I damage them. And, you know, I'll do all the things you should do. But on the most foundational level, if you know that you're good enough, you have a right to be in this room, you're a human being and so are all of these people, and we have these things in common, it relieves so much of the pressure we feel, even like in our nervous systems, when we're always trying to prove something.
Yes, it does. It does. And I can really relate to that. When I became a keynote speaker, the first paid speaking engagement I had, I rocked it. But no one knew the night before that I had a panic attack.
Mm.
I had a panic attack because I saw myself on the stage succeeding, but everyone in the audience viewed me as a failure. But I had to take that time in that room. I sat in my bed, couldn't catch my breath. It felt like it was an hour and 45 minutes, and it probably was 5 minutes long.
Oh,
but I watched the fans spin around, and I started questioning the merit to try to bring myself down. Like, why do I feel this way? And going through the hard things that I've done. But you're right. It does affect your nervous system. It locks you up.
Yeah.
If you can't get control of it.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of the work that you're doing with people is to just to like calm down this existential feeling that we, certainly women, people of color, people who've been sort of, like you said, told to sit down and wait their turn. Really, that just conditions you into feeling like, oh, there's something that I don't have yet that allows me to be in this room. But like the people who are in the room just weren't worried about it. It's not like they have it. They just weren't waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's so interesting. So I love your book, by the way. I have it right here. And I love that you're like beautiful faces on the cover of it. That's so great. I would love to hear, like, I remember when it came out, and I just want to hear, like, where did it come from? And why did you feel like now was the time to write the book? And what do you think? Well, I'll ask you again, but be prepared to share like the top three tips that you feel like people need to go right now and read it because they will transform you.
Yes, yes. I believe that the time is now because I've reached a point in my life. I reached a point in my career where money is not as important as impact.
Mm.
And
what a gift, right?
Yes, it is. It is. It is a gift. And I measure my life in decades. So I'm approaching another decade. And as I'm preparing for this decade, I start to think of what impact do I want to leave on the world?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me reflect on my challenges, my struggles, who I've helped. Honestly, what do I want people to say at my funeral about the legacy that I've left and the impact that I made on this world? And I think about the educational landscape, the political landscape. I'm a mom of a 7-year-old. I want to have him see me make an impact in changing lives. So when I travel, when I speak, when I do workshops, when I'm volunteering, I bring him along so he has a first view vantage point. But it definitely takes me back to the point of what I was mentioning earlier, witnessing so many brilliant people in organizations and companies that just don't know how to vocalize their value. They don't know how to promote themselves because it goes against every single thing that we've been taught about being humble and being modest and waiting our turn. But it's also the same thing that keeps us stuck. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't
find... It keeps
find
the same voices dominating the conversation. The voices that cause the problem are still the only ones we can hear talking.
Yes, I agree. I fully agree. And even going back, I don't struggle with perfectionism. I wrote the book from a vulnerable place.
Mm.
I'm still growing. There are some things that I'm still nervous about. I know how to do things scared. I just shared that I had a panic attack when I first had my speaking engagements, but it's going to feel a little bit scary when you're feeling as though you're doing it by yourself.
Mm.
So I wrote it a textbook style where each chapter has immediate actions on how to take those steps forward. I've established a community where people have a safe space to ask those questions and find accountability partners. I put it out in a way where you can just open the book and go. You don't have to read it from cover to cover, end to end. It provides strategies on how to build a personal brand, even if you've never done it before, be it as an entrepreneur or in your career. It gives strategies on how to leverage social media platforms like LinkedIn and how to attract opportunities, be it speaking engagements, clients, career leads. It also gives tips on how to conquer your mind. I am an advocate of naming your imposter and your inner saboteur. My inner critic, her name is Big Bertha, and she shows up, right? She shows up. Bertha's out there. But I know when she shows up, and I give strategies on how to work through your inner critic and imposter syndrome. I don't think imposter syndrome disappears, if you will. It looks different as you ascend. So I wanted to give all of those strategies, taking the experience and expertise that I've gleaned and shared with clients and shared with mentees over the course of the 2 decades of my career, to empower someone where they are on that journey.
I love that. And you know, one of the things I really like about you is, like, I think that sometimes a lot of people do personal branding from a very like me perspective, like, who am I? What's my best qualities? What do I not know is so great about myself? And what I've really loved about watching you on LinkedIn, as well as looking through your book, is how relational you are. The brand is not this like pedestal that you stand on and hope people admire you. It's like this platform that allows you to connect with the other people and help them and lift them up. And I just really admire that, because it would be easy to be like, you matter and that's what matters. And you're like, oh, you helping and being, having this impact in the world is what matters. And it's just everywhere in all of your stuff. And I really appreciate it. So you can talk a little bit about that maybe.
Yes. Thanks for seeing me. I think the reality is, I know what it feels like to be invisible. I also know what it feels like to be the first and only. And the only way to change invisibility and the only way to change being the first and only is to pull people up on that journey with you.
Yes.
So while the word is personal, this movement is personal to me, where I'm not going to be the only one or amongst the few. So I don't mind sharing strategies or secrets that people would pay for, or strategies and secrets that have been historically kept behind the gate. Because as I think about impact, by me sharing the stage, giving access, that becomes a part of my legacy. And if my legacy is met with empowering someone that was historically marginalized or disenfranchised, I feel like I'm truly doing great work, Amanda.
Yeah.
And it's very heart-centered. So as I've been on this journey learning, and I'm still learning and growing and expanding, it doesn't make sense for me not to share it. It doesn't serve me in that regard. So I share selflessly.
Yeah. That seems really clear. Like, it's sort of all the way through. And I think I'll just encourage everybody who is listening to go over and follow you on LinkedIn, because I just really like your posts. I don't really like, I mean, I feel like LinkedIn is the land of the experts. Everybody's got like a tip. I'm like, ugh. But when I see it, it's like, hold on, gotta scroll back down, check it out. And I love your, this, I think you were the first person I saw, though others do it now too, doing social Saturdays.
Yes.
I see that's also just this like strategic, process focused, like, way to bring more people closer to you in an authentic way, which is, I think, very similar to how you could describe most of the strategies in here. It's like,
yes.
So what do you think? So we'll just do this. What do you think are the top 2 or 3 strategies for personal branding that you, they have to read the book to learn more about it, but just top level, what matters the most in a personal brand?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, which is the hardest thing, is authenticity. And authenticity looks different from person to person. I curate my authenticity. Like, what my son gets and my husband gets is not what the world deserves to get, right? So
I think that's an important point. I would love to hear more about that.
Yes, yes. So I say this because I think the reality is some people believe that authenticity looks like oversharing, indulging in some of your innermost secrets. Authenticity for me looks like sharing your expertise and talent, sharing your strategies, ways that you can empower, the ways that you can help, ways that you can transform without sacrificing your core. And I think that that is really important. Some people are comfortable with bearing it all, but the perception of Baron at all is, is this something that you really want to share on LinkedIn or social media? But really leaning into those value add, that the value that you can bring someone else. I think the thing that's important for anyone who's in their career, some people may view personal branding as a side hustle. Like I have to build a personal brand so that I can make money. And that's not always the case. I think that as I consult with ERGs and speak at conferences and organizations, the way that personal branding can help an employee as well as the organization is from the perspective of really leveraging the talents and skills that you have and make them known across the organization. And I know it's becoming harder and harder in these remote and hybrid environments for people to get visibility. But what I've learned from my networking experience, especially on social media, people don't mind talking to you and giving you 15 minutes of your time if you are able to offer a mutual benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And I struggled a bit in the beginning, not understanding why people don't take that same opportunity in the corporate spaces, networking out of their comfort zone to make sure that they're connecting with people who have the power, authority, and influence to promote them or to ascend them in their career. So I would say for anyone who's in a corporate space, be it a junior or even at an executive level, making sure that you have a network outside of your immediate team, making sure that you engage and you connect with people that may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable because they have a title that may seem intimidating, but making sure that your value is known, and the way that you can articulate your value is by sharing your expertise, sharing projects that you are on, sharing innovative ideas or strategies that you've implemented. And even if you are in a space where you're thinking to yourself, like, I'm just in customer service. No, you're not just in customer service. You're the lifeblood of the organization. And anytime that you've convinced the customer to stay versus leaving, you've retained a certain amount of revenue. So being able to quantify the value that you bring and articulate that will definitely separate you from the pack. It'll separate you from a sea of sameness because things change. I mentioned that in the span of 6 years, I had 9 different managers. So having that leverage and having that network and leveraging your brand and being able to articulate your value will definitely put you in a market, a league of your own, and you can take those same strategies and apply them to LinkedIn to land you stages and panels and position yourself as a thought leader.
Wow. That was a masterclass right there. That was really great. I love that. And I just want to reiterate that your book, which I have read, and the content you share, and certainly how you've been here on this podcast, it is really authentic and heart-centered. Like, it's not a game. It's not like then you get in there and everything is a, bye, bye, bye. It really seems like you are here creating a legacy. And that's pretty amazing to see somebody living their values so clearly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yeah. So why don't you share with us how, if somebody's like, who is this woman? I want to know all about her. What do you recommend that they do?
What do I recommend that they do if they want to know all about me?
Yes.
If you want to know all about me, as you mentioned, Amanda, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn to share personal branding, employee engagement, and authentic leadership strategies. For those that may want more comprehensive resources, you can definitely check out my website, Chantel Love, where you can learn about my speaking engagements, my workshops, and consulting services that focus on personal branding and peak performance. And then also, you can check out my book. My book, Promote Your Damn Self, is available on Amazon. I have signed copies in the U.S. on my website, ChantelLove.com.
And you'll put those in the show notes for sure.
Thank you. And it definitely provides actionable strategies. So it's important for me to see the reader experience results before they even get to the end of the book. as it pertains to building your personal brand, growing your influence, your career. And if you decide to monetize your expertise, we have something in there for you as well.
Amazing. I love it. Well, Chantel, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with our listeners. And I want to just add my personal recommendation that everybody run right out and get a copy of this book, because I feel like I've read a lot of personal branding stuff and I pulled a lot of insight from this book. So thank you again for spending some time with us.
And thank you as well for introducing people to doing really great work.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Unleashing Your Great Work. If this episode sparked something for you, you'll love the Great Work audiobook, narrated by me, and now available on Audible. It's the perfect way to go deeper while you walk, drive, or just take a breath. Search Great Work by Amanda Crowell on Audible, or grab the link from the show notes below. And if you're enjoying this show, follow it, rate it, and review it. It really helps more people find their great work.